want to look at two young men in Scripture, both called when they were young, one 16 years old, the other one probably around the same age. One was called to be a king. Imagine any 16-year-olds here or thereabouts. Can you imagine being called to be a king and suddenly I'm the king? How would you feel? What would you do if you were in that position? I often wonder about, we saw recently all over the news, the marriage of Meghan Markle to a prince. I guess he's a prince. And now everybody, suddenly an instant celebrity around the world, everybody wants to see them waving to them. What'd they do? Yeah. You know, the royal family, all they did was be born. But it just reminds me of something from the Middle Ages. But nevertheless, in England, it's a big deal. And here in Israel, in Judah, your father, who's king, passes away. You're the heir to the throne, and suddenly they make you king. What would you do? What would you do with all that power and authority? Another young man was called to be a prophet at a young age. Kind of interesting to compare their lives. They were contemporary only for a short period of time. Their lives overlapped. The one man started out well, ended up as a leper. The other young man started out well, continued well all his life, ended up being sawn in two by another king, relative of this other first young man. But he served the Lord. And it's interesting to compare their lives. I'm talking about Uzziah and Isaiah. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I'm just going to pick a couple of verses. I don't want to read all the verses. But it tells us a little bit about Uzziah. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. Look at verse 4. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Verses 6 to 8 talk about how he defeats the enemies all around him. Verses 9 to 15 talks about how he strengthened Jerusalem and everywhere. But look at verse 16. After he had become old and prosperous and strong. It says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Verse 20, the priests withstood him, and 19, then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. He had no business in the temple And they told him so. Azariah, the chief priest, all the priests looked upon him. Behold, he was leprous in his forehead. They thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, dwelt in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. You notice how this, he was a young man, given great privilege by the Lord. And he started out well. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, as long as Zechariah, no doubt a respected lead, spiritual leader in his life, was alive. And as he sought the Lord, whatever he did prospered. He defeated the enemies around him, strengthened Jerusalem, and then he was lifted up in pride in his heart. Beware of success. Yeah. Beware of success. Everybody wants to become the idol, to win the idol, to win the lottery, to get all everything. What a great temptation is too much. Is wealth or fame or to be a sports hero or to be some kind of great person, because your heart can be lifted up in pride. Start thinking about yourself, reading the clippings in the newspapers about you. You say, well, you know, it's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am. You know, you start thinking about yourself. And here, Uzziah, God had given him so much. He should have been able to bow down before the Lord in thanksgiving and say, I use this opportunity that God has given me to honor him. If he's given me wealth, it's not so I can boast over the poor, so I can help those who have need. If he's given me strength, it's not so I can beat up the weaker person, so I can help the weaker person. If he's given me intelligence and wisdom, so I can help the naive. He doesn't give me those things to glorify myself and to boast in myself, but to glorify God. And he was not allotted to go into the temple. But he got to thinking, I'm the king. I can do whatever I want. I am the law. I'm the state. I make the rules. Who are you, priest, to tell me I can't go in the temple and burn my own incense and sacrifice to the Lord? So he goes in, usurps the authority of the priests, which God had established. Wasn't fearing the Lord. And the Lord smote him. Leprosy in the head. Fitting leprosy, wasn't it? Fitting leprosy. Leprosy is a picture of sin that works from the inside out. Manifests itself, but it's deeper than the skin. We'll see it in Leviticus as we go through. But it was leprosy in the head, in his thought life. Thinking too much of himself. Not esteeming others better than themselves, but boasting in himself, usurping something that was not his. Ended up a leper to the day of his death. Put in a separate house, unclean, his son taken over for him. Scripture tells us he lived, his total reign was like 52 years. It's a long reign in Israel. Sad that he started well, but he ended up poorly. He's an example to us. Beware of too much success. Beware thinking too much of yourselves. Beware of not giving the glory to God. The other man we want to look at is Isaiah. A contemporary only in the latter parts of his life. Isaiah was called as a young man during the time of Uzziah and Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, a long reign, many reigns, many administrations he lived through, lived a long life, ended up finally, tradition telling us that he suffered at the hands of King Manasseh, cut him asunder, because he would tell the truth. But he was a young man. He did not fall into the trap of Uzziah. And you say, what's the key? What's the trick? Well, look at Isaiah chapter 6. Let me read the whole chapter. Short chapter, but I think it's very telling. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. Two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he did fly. And one cried unto another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell his people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and turn and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men away, far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, shall be eaten, as a tell tree, or as an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. See this young man? He comes at the end of Uzziah's life. And he no doubt knew the story of Uzziah. And how Uzziah started out well, but he did not finish well. And we'll see here how Isaiah was able to start out well and finish well and serve. When the Lord says in this chapter, Who shall I send? Here am I, send me. But in order to go, he had to be prepared. It wasn't enough, like Uzziah, to, when he was young and he had spiritual mentors that he fully respected, to follow the Lord. But then when they were gone, the temptation was that relationship between him and the Lord, him and the Lord, was lacking. The fear between him and the Lord was lacking. His heart and his mind welled up with him, and he finished poorly at the end. Isaiah has a personal vision of the Lord. And that's what prepared him to serve the Lord all his days. Uzziah usurped the place of the priest and went into the temple without fear. And God smote him with leprosy. Here's Isaiah, a young man, has a vision. He knows the history of Uzziah. And what does he see? He's going in the temple. Uzziah went in the temple. Unclean came out. A leper. And he sees a vision of the Lord of glory. John tells us in John chapter 12 that Isaiah saw the glory of Christ. Spoke of him. And when he sees his vision, and he's in the temple, all he sees is the back part of the train of his garment. Not the choo-choo trains, Bobby. That would have been quite a train view. It was the skirt of his, only the skirt of his garments. And in his vision, he sees angels, but they're all fiery. Same word used to, as we've been going through Leviticus, when they burnt the sin offering outside the camp and burn it in judgment, is the word is seraph. Seraphim means burning ones. And it speaks of God's consuming fire. That was a fearful sight. The place shook. Isaiah shook in fear. Because you know what? When Uzziah went in, he didn't have a real work in his own heart to realize the sinfulness of his own heart. Pride deceives us. Pride blinds us from our own sin. Blinded Satan. Blinded Adam and Eve. Blinds Uzziah. But oh, it was quite a vision. When he saw the glory of Christ, his holiness, the seraphim say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." You know, in the Hebrew, when you emphasize something, you often would repeat it twice. Like even here in this chapter, when he talks about that they had, each of them had six wings. In the original Hebrew, it's six wings to each. Once emphasized. This is the only place, I believe, where it's three times repeated. Holy, holy, holy. And when we get a vision of the greatness and the holiness of Christ, he fills our vision. And you know what it's... And when we see ourselves aright in his light, we realize, I'm in deep trouble. I am undone. When the Jews translate the Old Testament, they use the word here for I'm done, done. It's the same word in Acts when Peter spoke and it says they were pricked to their hearts. It's the Greek word that they use there. It also means I'm silent in such a breath. I have no defense, no comment. My lips are unclean. I'm a leper in my speech. The people I live in, among, we're all lepers in the place of the holiness of God and the greatness of God. Have you ever had a glimpse of the holiness and greatness of God and to realize my goodness in the presence of his greatness is just uncleanness? I have nothing to offer but to cast myself upon His mercy. So my people say, well, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm going to heaven. I'm a good person. Really. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, if you loved your neighbor as yourself, always, I'd rather challenge you and say, one day, did you do it one day in your life? And if you're honest, you'll be like Isaiah. I'm unclean. I'm afraid to be in this temple. I'm afraid to come before God in my own righteousness, in my own holiness. Lord, I need mercy. I am cast upon You for mercy. I am silent. Remember at the great white throne, when they see again the Lord in His glory, and the small and the great stand before God, they have nothing to say. No defense. No lawyers to represent them. Guilty before God. But you know, it was this vision that influenced Isaiah the rest of his life. This was the key of why he could serve the Lord all his days. In fact, one of the key phrases in the book of Isaiah, more than any other place in the Bible, when he talks about the Lord, what does he call Him? The Holy One of Israel. He never forgot this vision, the beginning of his ministry. He was the Holy One of Israel. And he repeats it, I think, like 25 times in the book of Isaiah. Because God had showed him a glimpse of the glory of Christ. And he showed him a glimpse of his own leprosy in his own heart. But what had taken God in His grace had touched Isaiah. When he sees the King, the true King in His glory. See, when Uzziah went in the temple, before he went in the temple, he should have seen and known who the true King of glory was. He started thinking that he was the King. But Isaiah had seen the King in His glory. And he realized what his need was. And a seraph flies and takes a coal from the altar and touches His lips. He says, your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. What did the Lord teach Isaiah? His own uncleanness. Remember, Moses had to learn the same thing. Moses, put your hand in your shirt. Pull your hand out. Full of leprosy. Pull it back in. Pull it out. Sin within. We have to recognize we're sinners in need of cleansing. But how did He cleanse him? Took the coal off the altar. Been talking about that in Leviticus. The burnt offering was always burning up, going up as a sweet savor unto God. The fat from the sin offering, put on the burnt offering. Fat from the peace offering, put on the burnt offering. It was always going up. And that was brought, touched His lips, and His sin was purged. It's interesting, this word for tit, touched. It's the same word used when the Lord smote Uzziah with leprosy. It's the same word used in Leviticus where the plague of leprosy is talked about. Someone smitten with the plague or touched. It's the same word used in Isaiah chapter 53 where it says that he was stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. And the Jews, when they commentated on that chapter, would say that, you know, this servant was going to become a leper because he was stricken. It's the same word touched his lips with the coal from off the altar. How was his sin purged? By the same Lord of glory that Isaiah saw here. And then in chapter 53, the same one who became the servant, who became smitten, touched, became the leper, as it were, to take away our leprosy, to take away our sin. The same one that Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 2, where he said, who being in the form of God, what was the form of God? Isaiah chapter 6. There was a picture of the Lord Jesus in the form of God. That was ever His outward display. Glory. His glory fills all the earth. Holy, holy, holy. That was ever His form. But Paul goes on to tell us that the one who was entered in the form of God laid aside His glory and took on Himself the form of a slave. Humbled Himself to the point of death. Suffered on the cross. Smitten. Stricken. Became the leper. Became sin for us. To atone for our sin. That's what Isaiah learned at the beginning of his ministry. He saw a glimpse of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ and His lowliness. And the one who could purge him from sin and could touch his lips. That's probably the first place that our uncleanness shows forth, is what we say. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you ever have any iniquity, leprosy come out of your mouth? Things that, even an idle word, corrupt communication, words that you would say, or maybe I shouldn't have said that. I take that back. You never can. It's up to your lips. Purge you. But you know, this is the prerequisite for service. If you have not seen the Lord in His glory, if you have not seen the Lord in His humiliation, you're not ready to serve. You might start off well because you're influenced by somebody you respect who's older, and they were your kind of your mentor. But when they're gone, maybe you start thinking too highly of yourself. Maybe you start thinking of yourself more than you should. True service is to think of others, esteem others better than ourselves. True service is to think more of Christ and not of ourselves. True service is not just because my spiritual mentor is watching and there to maybe correct me. But what about when they're gone? Can you continue on to serve the Lord? While you're young, get a view of the glory of Christ in His greatness. Get a view of the depths to which He stooped to save you. And you know what? You have that personal relationship with Him. And even when you're alone, even when those who have influenced you greatly are no longer around, you'll keep for the Lord. You'll keep serving the Lord. You'll be the one where you hear the Lord says, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And you'll have a willing heart to, like Isaiah, say, here am I, Lord, send me. You notice he didn't say, well, what do you really want me to do first? What did you say you wanted? Then I'll decide whether I'll go or not. What do you want me to do? No. Because you know what? Perhaps when he heard what the Lord wanted him to do, maybe he wasn't willing. Wouldn't have been willing. Because the Lord says, well, I want you to go to this people And I want you to pronounce a message of judgment on them. Tell them, you have eyes, but you won't be able to see. You have ears, but you'll be deaf. You won't be able to turn to the Lord. Sometimes we're like Jonah, Lord, where the Lord wants you to actually go there, and all those people, the whole city will get saved. And Jonah says, I don't want that. I want to go the other way. We would jump and say, wow, what an evangelist. The whole city gets saved through me. No. You give a true prophet, speaks the truth. What God wants you to say, whether you like it or not, whether they want to hear it or not. Isaiah was not somebody that just told people to hear what they want to hear. He spoke and pricked their hearts, just as God had pricked his heart. Where are you before this holy God? How do you stand in your sins before this holy God? Have you come to Christ and had your sins cleansed? Have you seen in your heart leprosy and you need the Savior to take away your sins? Have you called on the name of the Lord and been saved? Now you say, well, this message make their hearts fat, their ears heavy, shut their eyes so they can't see, they can't hear, they can't understand. What kind of a God would do that? Well, remember earlier in the chapter, it says the whole earth is filled with His glory. The whole world was filled with His glory. Do you know anybody that looks out at the whole world and can't see one bit of His glory? Look at the day in which we live. Look at the so-called experts who have learned more and more about His glory. The universe, His might and power, His wisdom, whether they take a microscope and look at the DNA in man, or a telescope and look at the vast universe, and you ask them, whose glory do you see there? I don't see anybody's glory. It's all big chance. All happened by chance. Eyes they have, but they will not see. Ears they have, but they will not hear. A heart that they have, but they refuse to believe. What a judgment upon a world. You see, because as God gives His testimony and His light in the gospel and in creation, and as that light is rejected, it hinders your ability to receive light. And there comes a point at which you cannot any longer see. You would not see, then you cannot see. God's judgments upon men. And this was what the people of Israel in Isaiah's day had become. And you know, the prophets were often called during a day of declension, a day of turning away, to turn them back to the Lord, to give them, to point them to Christ. But if you're going to serve the Lord, first you have to see the Lord personally. Do you have a personal vision of Christ? Do you spend time with the Lord daily, where you hear Him speak to you? You hear His voice, and you look to Him to guide your life with a willing heart to say, Lord, show me what You would have me do. When you're young, serve the Lord while you're young. Serve Him all your days. Serve Him in the assembly. Serve Him in whatever capacity God has enabled you. But have a reason to tell forth His glory, because you've seen Him. Paul Little wrote two books called Know Why You Believe and Know What You Believe. When somebody asks you, why do you believe? Tell them why. Know why. Don't say, well, go read this book and you're going to find out about it. Know what you believe. Go back to the book. Say, because I've met the Lord. I've seen His glory. And I know what He's done for me. I know what He's kept. If you're young, hopefully you can say, I know what He's kept me from. And those that are older that got saved later in their life, and we hear Mitch and Jim and others often in the remembrance meeting saying, oh man, it was ugly. There was a lot of scars. The Lord saved me out of that. Far better to have been saved young from it than to have the scars and be brought back out of it. But still all of us need that personal vision of the Lord in His glory. Realizing He became the leper for us in order to take away our sins. Then we have a message to share with others. Shall we just bow our heads and work prayer? Lord, help us to be like Uzziah and Isaiah and start well. But help us not to be lifted up in our hearts in pride, because we missed the vision, Lord, of You and King, the King of Glory, and the One who humbled Himself even unto death to take away our sin and give us that message to give You the praise and glory in all that we do, and to be willing to be sent wherever You would call us to Your honor and glory. We pray this in Your name. Amen.